All right, here we go from Las Vegas on a Red Friday. A Red Friday in Vegas. That feels pretty good. Just
that does feel good.
A little bit more, Chiefs fans. Arrowhead West in just a few days out at Allegiant Stadium. Hope everybody's feeling good. Cody and Gold out here at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll have Mark McMillan stopping by a little bit later on today in the noon hour. Mighty Mouse, former Chief, former Eagle. He now does some work with the Raiders broadcast team. He's also got a lot of stuff going on in Vegas, whether it's the grilling, the spices, all that kind of stuff. So we'll check in with Mighty Mouse, get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins joining the Chiefs and just this rivalry. He tweeted out a really cool photo today. It was an old school, man. Cody, I don't know if you saw an old school Sunday, I guess, or Chiefs extra from the Kansas City Star back in the day. And it just reminds you, like, how cool some of this stuff was. What is it? Super Chiefs. And it's like just the comic
feels
book.
So 90.
Yeah, oh, right? It was just really cool to see that throwback. So we'll relive the rivalry a little bit with Mark McMillan a little bit later on today. It's also a Fan Club Friday. There may be some people stopping by, listeners/friends. I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to say on the air, but there might be a moment
or two. Are you willing to risk that?
I have no
idea.
This
is your reputation on the line, you know?
There was a moment last night where I said, you can hop on for just a minute or so. I was like,
wow, already agreed.
He's very excited. It's dangerous. It is very dangerous. But at that point, I don't know if they'll be drinking. So maybe they'll just be getting their day started. I think they were out on Fremont Street pretty late. We had work to do. We had a show to do. Yesterday, you and I went separate ways for a while. So you'll have to get me caught up on what you did, too.
I'll let you know.
You and I haven't talked.
I don't know what you did either.
The show ended. I stayed down by the pool and stuff, and then I didn't hear from you the rest of the day. I have no idea what Cody wins. I mean, it could be anything. You don't know what I did.
I saw one photo that you posted from the sports book, so yep. I know at one point you were watching some Monday Night Football. Outside of that, I am not aware of what you did.
Yeah, man, Thursday Night Football was great last night. It really was.
It was good. Yeah, and the Rams, of course, now it's right back to the same thing. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Like, you sure you want to sell? That division's wide open, and all of a sudden your weapons are back, and you look good, and the NFC's kind of wide open, I guess, other than the Lions are the best team,
mm-hmm.
which adds a whole nother thing. But no, I'm excited. This is our show ends at noon Vegas time. We will have had the fan club, so presumably I would have already had a little liquid courage by then. Then I think maybe we're thinking about going to the Golden Knights game today.
That's right. They have an afternoon
It's in the
game.
Middle of the afternoon. It's like 3 p.m. Vegas time because tonight at 7 o'clock, we've got our party at Overhang Bar. Again, if you want the RSVP link, send us a text, 913-586-7965. If you're in the Vegas area or you're getting ready to fly in today on your way to the airport, 913-586-7965. Get you a free drink. Get you entered for a chance for game day tickets. Get you entered for a chance to win the day bed here at Stadium Swim. All good stuff. They told us we're already expecting over 100 people there tonight. I'm expecting probably even more than that because they normally get them in the walk-in crowd. But why not RSVP? Get the free drink ticket. Get a chance to win the tickets. Do all the normal stuff, you know? I don't know why you'd miss out on that.
Yeah, Chiefs fans are going to start taking over. It's funny, at the book last night, I was sitting there, and a gentleman to our left was wearing a Bo Jackson jersey, right? Old school Bo Jackson jersey.
Love
and
it.
So one of my friends made a comment, and he's like, oh, nice jersey, yada, yada. And they asked, hey, are you going to the game? And he's like, nah, too many Chiefs fans. We all just started laughing. So he's a Raiders fan, and he's not going because Chiefs fans
too
are taking over his building.
Chiefs
Think
fans.
About that. He said, yeah, not going, too many Chiefs fans. We're like, well, we're from Kansas City, he said, and everything. So that's what Chiefs fans have done to Raiders fans. They have made it to where they don't even want to go to their own stadium because they know it's Arrowhead West.
I will mention what my dream is for today later.
Oh,
I will
boy.
Say the most interesting thing I saw last night was right as we were getting back to Circa, later last night, right?
How late, Cody?
Night's getting,
how late were you?
I don't know. It wasn't that crazy late. Just like a late-ish.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever it was in that, because we did some other stuff.
Vegas late or just like regular late?
No. It was like, it wasn't even that late. Like 9 o'clock, right? Because we had other things we were going to do at the hotel or whatever. And so 9 o'clock, we're rolling in. We're walking. As we're walking back into Circa, a gentleman walks right out the door. And the second he gets out the door, projectile vomits.
No.
Straight out.
No,
the
he didn't.
Gets.
No, he didn't.
And the valet lady goes, oh, like she was horrified at what took place. The dude got 5 steps outside the door.
Well, good on him, actually.
And just started, like, projectile vomiting immediately.
I mean, good.
He got outside. Honestly, kind of kudos,
That's what
right?
I'm saying. He did not do it on the glass window or door. He didn't do it in the property. He was off property, and he just throws up, you're saying? Oh,
yeah. The second he got through the door, man. And she just went, oh, like she was just like mortified at what had taken place. This poor man. It was a lot of vomit. I'm not even sure his stomach. I'm not even sure he had that much in his stomach at some point. But he was, that was the most interesting thing I saw last night. That's for sure. Dude, it was nuts. Someone says, that's early in Vegas, 9. Oh, yeah.
Someone says, that's only one fan, moron. Yeah, it's called a story, dip bleep. Like, what are you, the story of the Raiders fan? What is this guy?
So I think that generally speaks to people, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. We had a Raiders fan texting in.
Somebody's also asking you to put some money on Boise State for them tonight. Those are your guys.
They do play.
You would be at the game tonight if we didn't have our party at Overhang.
I would. But I am looking forward to the party this evening and hanging out with some Chiefs fans and letting everybody know how many fans are going to be here throughout the entire weekend rooting on the Chiefs. And let's get into that a little bit, because later on we'll do our game predictions and everything. We'll take your texts and calls if you guys want to chime in, as always. 913-586-7965. But Patrick Mahomes said some comments recently, too, just about last time around against the Raiders, of course, Christmas Day game, and just the regular season feeling around Christmas. Things weren't going the way they were hoping. We all know he didn't have fun last year. He mentioned that in the offseason. And that basically kind of mailed in a little bit around that time.
I think that got brushed over, because there was like all this DeAndre Hopkins news, and that was the stuff you were looking for. The comment from Patrick Mahomes on Wednesday really stood out to me. And I know we didn't talk about it on Wednesday because we had a full show and all this other stuff, but the more and more I listen back to that comment, the more I'm like, I can't believe he admitted this. Patrick Mahomes admitted that they just walked into the building last year against the Raiders, knowing that team was a joke, expecting to win, and honestly, borderline admitting they took them not serious. Something that I didn't even think Patrick Mahomes ever did. He said, we were going through the motions. We were looking forward to the playoffs. Everything we were doing was in service of the playoffs. And look, that's not the worst strategy ever. They went through the playoffs, won every game, won the Super Bowl, and went on to be back-to-back Super Bowl champions. But to admit that you sleptwalk through a regular season game was surprising. I've never heard Patrick Mahomes talk about a game the way he talked about that Raiders game. And it showed, man. They walked in that door and got their ass kicked in all three phases of the game, if you remember. They weren't good on defense. They weren't good on offense. The special teams was a mess. Like, they were bad on every single facet of the game. And he admitted that they walked into that game sleepwalking. They got to avoid that now, right?
I mean, you made
the mistake against the Raiders once. You're 6-0. There's no reason to walk into a game again. But I was surprised for him to admit it, which means it's on his mind, I guess. He's not going to walk into the game this way.
Well, not worried because of that. Also, this is still a team that is undefeated, you know.
Yep.
And there's that element. When you're undefeated this early on in the season, I don't think anybody questioned motivation. Then you add a new weapon. You got to be excited that now you have DeAndre Hopkins to throw the football to. All of that, in a weird way, too, because it's on the road. I know we talk about Arrowhead, and they lost at Arrowhead, but because there are going to be so many Chiefs fans turning this building on Sunday into Arrowhead West and all that, like, I think that helps. I'm not worried about this team being flat right out of the gate at all on Sunday against Las Vegas. I don't know if they're, you know, people will talk, I don't know if they're going to win by 30 points or 20 points against the Raiders. Come on now, it's still the NFL. But I do think the Chiefs will be able to, for much of the contest, be in control and be able to really do whatever they want. I do think there's truth to that. It doesn't mean they're going to win by double digits necessarily, and we'll see if they cover. But I do think the Chiefs, if they want to run the football, they'll be able to do that. If you're the Raiders, how are they moving the ball on this Chiefs team? I really don't see how they're doing that, man. Alexander Mattison's their running back. He wasn't even their starter at the beginning of the season.
No, Zamir White.
Gardner Minshew, they went back and forth. He's now forced to start, and they can't pull him because Aiden O'Connell's hurt. And then really it's Brock Bowers. But we've talked about the tight end position all year. That's fine. Brock Bowers can go out and get a bunch of yards. I don't really care.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some truth to that. And the road game maybe makes you take it a little more serious. But I think him admitting that gold in a lot of ways was them trying not to repeat the mistakes of the past. Last year, I would say that last year's team and this year's team are kind of very similar, right? Struggling offensively more than people were anticipating. Going through some injuries that are holding them back a little bit. Still a team led by their defense. Like, if you look at the points per game they're scoring, the points per game they're allowing, similar in each of the years. I think the defense has been a little bit better, right? But this is a divisional game that if you want to, right now, the best part about the way your schedule has lined up and the way other teams have lost is, If you just put your foot on the gas pedal for the next, like, month, you could kind of borderline secure the first round bye by week 12 or 13. Like, I understand not, like, statistically, not mathematically, but you would have a two-game lead, or if you keep winning, a three-game lead and the tiebreaker. So, like, right now, the Ravens, who are competing against them, they have essentially a three-game lead against them. Can't finish with the same record as Kansas City. You lost to them. Be Buffalo. You could have a three-game lead on them just based on the fact that they already have two losses and you don't, right? So, like, they have a chance to essentially put themselves in a position where if they want to sleepwalk on some regular season games later in the year, go nuts. Now, if you're undefeated, you probably feel a little bit different.
I don't think there's any sleepwalking if you know you're within reach of. I also think, though, even though last year they were, let's not kid ourselves, still going for history a year ago, back-to-back is a rare thing to do in the NFL. But there's something different about going for a three-peat. I'm not worried about this team, whether they have one loss, no losses, or three.
They showed up that Raiders game like they didn't even want to play football.
Yeah. The game being on Christmas Day, I think, also did not help that whole situation. But they're going to play on Christmas Day again this year. We know that later on.
Steelers.
They're going to play on Black Friday. They're going to play on Christmas Day. That's the scenario that they're always going to be in now because they are the Kansas City Chiefs. Next year, I don't know what all the scheduling works on holidays and everything, but any of the marquee holiday slots, we know Black Friday for sure. That'll be probably more of a rotational thing, but every couple of years they're probably playing on Black Friday. That's just where we're at right now. They are the number one ticket for everybody. TV networks, actual stadium tickets, all of it.
What do you think the what's your guess for ratio of Chiefs fans? 70-30, you said?
I think 70-30 is
60-40?
Very much in reach.
70-30 is very much.
Tickets have gone down a little bit, I saw, on some of the secondary markets. To get in, around 280 now, it was 400 and something a few days ago. So it's
still not
the
cheap.
Price is, no, definitely not cheap, but the price has started to go down a little bit. And we'll see. Maybe you have to realize, I know it's not the Super Bowl by any means, but much like that, there will be fans, whether it's from Kansas City or otherwise, that will fly in just to be, because it is Vegas, just to be in Vegas for the weekend. Like, they'll come to Circa to watch the game at the book with other Chiefs fans, and they will fly back. Like, that is something that I've heard from other people that are coming out, that they don't have tickets to the game. They're hoping to win some tickets tonight from our happy hour event.
I hope they win them.
But otherwise, they're fine with just hanging out in Vegas and being around Chiefs fans and enjoying the party. That's kind of what happens usually Super Bowl week for a lot of people, too, and I get that sense this weekend here.
Yeah, they just like to be around it. And right now, it does feel like history is possible for Kansas City. Again, it's six games. They have to go so many more games before you and I have the conversation, which is they're going undefeated, right? Versus earlier this week when I said, what percentage chance do you give them? And you're like, I don't know, 7, 8%, or maybe you said 5%, and we found the implied odds are 7 or 8%, and I said 15%. So, like, you know, the implied odds are literally directly in between what percentage chance we think that they actually have to do it. But, I mean, that becomes more real with each passing week, especially if they handle business against a bad team. This is – every game doesn't have to be a blowout in the NFL. And I'm saying this game has to be a blowout. But this game should never feel close in your mind. If the Raiders score a touchdown to make it a single-score game but never possess the ball when they're leading – or, you know, like, when they have a chance to get – then whatever. To me, that's fine, right? Never possess the ball other than the first time you possess it with a chance to take the lead on Kansas City essentially in the third and fourth quarter. It should feel like that. They're starting Gardner Minshew. They have no running game. Their offensive line is not very good. Their defense stinks. They have two good players, Max Crosby and Brock Bowers. Outside of that, there's not a single good player on this team. Two. And look, Brock Bowers will probably finish the game 9 for 97 and a touchdown, and so what? And Max Crosby will finish with a sack and a half because he's great. And then you should win, you know, by 10, 15, 20.
So much of their offseason was focused on the Chiefs. Remember Antonio Pierce's comments? They made these, like, Mahomes rules.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Like, there's something. This is for a team that is not very good. So much has been said in Vegas about the Chiefs. We know they won on Christmas Day, but whether it was the player at training camp, as we played the audio yesterday of the Kermit the Frog that was dressed up with the Mahomes hair and everything like that and the voice. You had the player that got the interception last year that kind of stared down Mahomes. That same player yesterday or 2 days ago made the comments about not basically worried about Patrick Mahomes. Then you have Antonio Pierce in the offseason. We know openly said that they are, you know, creating these Mahomes rules. So there's just so much built into this one for the Raiders in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Make it your whole Super Bowl. Lots of teams have ruined their entire seasons because all they do is care about what the Chiefs do.
The exact comments were last February, and Antonio Pierce said his Raiders will be channeling the bad boy Detroit Pistons when they play Patrick Mahomes as long as he is the Las Vegas head coach. He was on Max Crosby's podcast. He said, quote, "We've got the Jordan rules, and what I'm calling from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules." So you remember when Jordan was going through with the Pistons, all those guys in the 80s, before he became Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, the Pistons used to whoop his ass. Anytime he came to the hole, elbows, feeling them, love taps, we touched them. These are real quotes. We're in the head, mentally, physical, emotionally.
Is that what you did last night?
I'm those things? I'm touching you. So I showed those guys Jordan getting his ass whooped. I'm reading the quote, but as I was reading that, I realized how weird that sounded. But that was a real quote from Antonio Pierce.
So we're going to see somebody try to get throw a haymaker at Mahomes after he throws a pass. Then just a left hook.
I mean, he got punched in the throat in the last.
It would not stun me at all if there's a late hit out of bounds in this game at all. At all.
No, I wouldn't be shocked. But they'll also lose. So I guess do loser stuff. That's fine if that's what the Raiders want to do. I'm not worried about it. The other question, of course, is whether or not and how much we want DeAndre Hopkins to play on Sunday. Andy obviously on Thursday said, "Why wait? You know, right? Why wait?" If he's able to do it, for him to play on Sunday. So even though he got on a Thursday, and that feels very anti-Andy Reid, I expect a pretty heavy dose of DeAndre Hopkins. Here's what I think will happen, and I'm curious what you do. I think he'll play 60% of the snaps. I think he'll get 5 to 7 targets. I think he'll get 1 to 2 red zone targets, and he'll finish with 50 or 60 yards. That's what I anticipate out of DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday. And I know that that's probably aiming a little high for a guy who did not step foot on a football field for this team until Thursday. But honestly, I think that they know they need him and need him right away, and they're going to start using him right away. Although I think some people were trying to make it like Bill Barnwell were trying to make it like this is a play for the postseason, not for the regular season, right? They're doing this so that by the time the postseason hits, they'll be better with DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, I think there's truth to that.
Not trying to win now.
I mean,
if that's the case, then you probably think his stats are a little lower on Sunday.
I mean, I don't disagree with Barnwell. I mean, that is what this whole thing is about. It's about the postseason. Any acquisition for the Chiefs that's in a trade, not picking up a guy off the street per se, is about the postseason. Kareem Hunt, I actually think that signing initially was about now, not the postseason. The benefit is, at some point, they're going to have Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. Trading for DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, they needed bodies, but also he absolutely is about, come playoff time, having a legitimate wide receiver because they may not have Hollywood Brown still, and we know they're not going to have Rashee Rice. And looking at production for Sunday, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a really smart football player. He made some comments yesterday about, hey, I played for 12 years. Like, how do I get ready for this playbook? And he's, I know football. And I think there's absolutely truth to that. Package of plays, you say 60% of snaps, maybe. I might be a little high. I don't know. They're going to elevate maybe Justin Ross from the practice squad. I think if you're just talking about the stat line for DeAndre Hopkins, it wouldn't surprise me if it's 3 catches, 45 yards in that realm. Like, if you think he's getting like 7 catches for 90, look, I'll gladly be wrong on that one. I just would be pretty stunned.
His over-under on DraftKings is 37.5 right now.
Okay. I'd take the over slightly, but that's about right. That number seems about right, doesn't it?
When the number sounds about right, that's normally when you're like, I better just not bet this if I'm feeling pretty good about it. But no, I mean, that doesn't seem outlandish, but I come back to the one thing with DeAndre Hopkins, which is right now on this team, who's getting the target? Like, who's taking the targets away from him?
Noah Gray, Travis Kelce. They're also running the ball a lot, man. I'm not saying they're going to run it. They ran the ball 40 times against the 49ers. I don't know if they're going to do that against the Raiders, but, like, you're right. There's not a ton of targets, but they're not – I don't think in this era or this current form of offense that they're throwing it 37, 38 times. You know what I mean?
This is where the Chiefs have dramatically changed from the team that they were in every other single year, including last year. And I'll give them credit because this might just be an adjustment they made. All right, so I'm going to give you the last 4 years' goal just to kind of put it in perspective. The run-pass play percentage in the NFL. 4 years ago in 2021, the Chiefs had the 6th highest pass rate in the league, right? So pass a lot. Not surprising. Everybody would kind of anticipate that. 2 years ago in 2022, they had the 8th highest pass rate in the NFL. They were borderline tied for 7th, but again, a higher pass rate than most teams in the NFL, especially for a team that leads, right? Could hypothetically run late. Last year, they're the 7th highest pass rate in the NFL. Again, you'd be like, wow, really? They didn't have anyone to throw to. They had the seventh highest pass rate in the NFL. This season, Kansas City ranks 24th in pass percentage. 24th. They are one of the lowest teams in the league. And here's the truth. They're smart. Because the other teams with the lowest run percentage in the league are also taking advantage of this shell coverage nonsense that should benefit the run game. Buffalo is below them in pass percentage. Pittsburgh is below them in pass percentage. Baltimore is below them in pass percentage. Washington is below them in pass percentage. Now, some of that is because they have quarterbacks who can also run. But think about Detroit. Detroit, one of the most efficient teams in the league, is lower than Kansas City in pass percentage. The good teams have stopped throwing the football, as crazy as that sounds, and have started going to the run game instead.
To your
point on the target thing, it might just be less targets across the board and more Kareem Hunt and Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, and then eventually Isaiah Pacheco.
That's the pivot. Now, Detroit in particular, they got a great 1-2 punch in Montgomery and Gibbs. Kansas City right now has Kareem Hunt getting 20-plus carries a game. That's what I'm kind of excited about later on in the year when Pacheco's back, because I think for the sake of both of their health and being fresh for the playoffs, I think that needs to be a true committee or a split, I'm sorry, backfield between Hunt and Pacheco and be able to utilize their skill sets but not wear each other down. One player's coming back from an injury later on, and the other, Kareem Hunt, is putting a lot of carries on his body, I think more than they even thought they were asking from him when they brought him in off the street. Is he able to carry the ball 21, 22 times for another 14 weeks or whatever? You know, I don't know if the answer is yes to that. So this is part of their offense right now, but they will need Pacheco to carry some of this for Kareem Hunt or vice versa a little bit later on. Coming up in 7 minutes or so right here in Las Vegas, we'll talk more about one change the Chiefs did make contract-wise that could tell us about a future move. But you said there's one thing while we're here in Vegas you want to accomplish?
Actually, yeah. So two things. I take it back. Two things.
We know one thing you're not going to accomplish.
Two things. Come on. You let me off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I feel like I just don't have it in me. We'll see. Maybe tonight I'll try to honor a bet even though we changed the terms. But two things I want to see happen while we're here in Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
One, Drew, on our way out here, Alex posted an Instagram post. Nice, lovely lady who maybe or may not have shown him around while he was going to the Grand Canyon. It's like, hey, what are you up to? What are you doing? What do the plans look like now that you're Vegas? She's a Vegas resident, right? I think one thing I'd like to see is Alex get a drink with a nice young lady who seems to have some interest.
Yeah.
That's one. That's the easy one. That one you can accomplish no problem. She said she might come to the event tonight. Hope she does.
She was part of the group in the Grand Canyon, and she followed me at the time on Instagram. She messaged me a few days ago, saw that we were coming back out to Vegas. That's it. That's all it was, you know?
I'm just saying, I'd like to see you get a drink with the lady. That's all.
Well, she might show up tonight. I have no idea. She knows where we're going to be.
Okay, so that's something she shows up tonight. I'll update everyone on Monday morning about that.
Uh-huh.
Second, I want to see you drunk.
Oh.
It's enough of you.
Hmm. I was drunk yesterday. Where were you yesterday afternoon?
You were drunk yesterday?
Yesterday, after the show, you went with your wife somewhere. I never heard from you the rest of the day.
I didn't think you were. If I knew you were getting drunk, I would have stuck around.
My buddies and I, we went down to the lower level of Stadium Swim. We had a cabana yesterday afternoon. We had a few more of those 32-ounce tumblers or whatever.
Oh, you had another one of those?
I did.
You probably were feeling good.
Oh, we were feeling great. Took a little power nap, went and had some dinner, watched the Thursday Night Football.
Alex understands sometimes when we go on these travels, you know, or like if we're in a public space, a lot of times it's like work-related, right?
Uh-huh.
So Alex is mindful of his drinking, logically, around workplace associates.
That's right. Yeah, very responsible.
I let loose one time on a Friday night during Super Bowl week, and our boss saw us pretty drunk. We have known each other for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I know you drink and have been drunk. I've never seen it. Not once in my life have I seen it.
I also hold my alcohol, carry my alcohol pretty good. That's also the difference. Yesterday, when you say drunk, what are you expecting?
I don't want you to projectile vomit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yesterday.
You have a good buzz.
Yeah, you're not, I'll tell you, I'm never going to be the guy, I never have been. You're never going to catch me, stumbling around the place. That's just, I'm not going
to
do that.
No, I don't need to see that. I need to see you.
That's never going to be me, man.
But
sorry.
I've never good even buzz. Seen you, the level of drunk you're describing yesterday, I don't think.
Oh, well, and yesterday I wasn't stumbling around either.
No, but I'm saying, I might even like to see that level.
Oh.
Tonight's great. We get off at noon. Mm-hmm. We can get a cocktail during the fan club. We're talking about going to the Golden Knights game. Certainly they have alcohol there.
They do.
We have the party at Overhang Bar tonight. It's at a bar.
Yep.
I'll see you for like 9 consecutive possible drinking hours.
This is true.
By the end of it,
I will keep
I'd
it
like
steady.
To see you.
I'll keep it steady.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to keep a level for a while. That's cool. But like 10 o'clock, I want to see you loose. At the craps table, loose. Drinks, feeling good. We can try to win some money this time. We lost all our money at craps.
I won some money last night. Thank you, Rams. Thank you, Rams. Everybody in the book was on the Vikings. I was on the Rams. It felt good. Felt good when everybody else was all upset and left the book. I think Circa had a good day yesterday because everybody in the book was on the Vikings.
Why? I guess because the line was so low and the Rams haven't been very good.
Mm-hmm.
But Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua were returning. That's a weird time, in my opinion, to bet the Vikings when you don't even know who the Rams are. And, of course, it's DeMarcus Robinson with two
touchdowns. Sean McVay, short week. We mentioned the trend yesterday. Yeah. I was on with Bob and Dusty. Mentioned the short week trend for Sean McVay, and it did pay off. All right, up next, we continue broadcasting here from Circa in Vegas at Stadium Swim, getting set for Chiefs and Raiders. The Chiefs did make a little move on the contract front. We'll explain what it did and what it could mean for another acquisition.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's next? Back here in Las Vegas, Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Circa. Outside at Stadium Swim, their big pool club, 6 pools, 143-foot screen. We're hanging out here till noon Vegas time, 2 o'clock obviously back in Kansas City. And then later on tonight, hope to see you guys at our happy hour event. If you still don't have that RSVP link, let us know. Text in. We'll be sure to give that to you. That's how you get into the happy hour this evening. Get a free cocktail with that. You can obviously be entered to win tickets to the game. I also was told that, if you show up as well, don't worry. They'll still take care of you. But it's just, you know, if you want RSVP still, that would help. That helps. Gives us a little bit of an idea with everything. And like Cody said, we have found out we have expecting well over 100 people already just off of some of the RSVPs for the happy hour this evening, which is obviously going to be a ton of fun. Now, the Chiefs did make a little bit of a change late last night contract-wise. It's kind of interesting. So Jawan Taylor, we know his money became guaranteed in March for the next year already. And they needed a little bit of flexibility because after the DeAndre Hopkins move, they virtually had no cap space again. And according to Field Yates, they converted some of Jawan Taylor's salary into a signing bonus. We see this happen a lot. That freed up another $5.3 million in salary cap space the rest of the year. And so between the DeAndre Hopkins trade, things were way too tight. And now, all of a sudden, makes you wonder, is there another move to come? I mean, you don't just free up space usually to free it up. I know they like to have some wiggle room in case they need it, but this, to me, also keeps the door open that in the next couple weeks before the deadline, Cody, they go out and make a trade for somebody, whether it's a wide receiver or elsewhere.
Or a corner, right? I mean, or defensive line, because there are not strong deficiencies, I would say, now that they've got a wide receiver. And so I would say that, you know, it's a little bit different. But, yeah, it's hard for me to not assume that they move the money to sign somebody, right? They technically had enough money to pay DeAndre Hopkins. So why move more? Why move more than you need? Just to roll it into next year to pay Jawan Taylor the same amount of money?
I don't think so.
I assume you want that money. And look, maybe it doesn't mean they get a deal done, but to me, it indicates that they want to, that they are interested in doing it, that they want to see who's available, who they can get, and who they can sign. And at this point, I still think it should be another wide receiver. If you made me choose a defensive lineman, corner, defensive line depth, corner depth, or I get another wide receiver. Another wide receiver, please.
Yeah. Thinking of that, though, as I was watching Thursday Night Football, one of the names we've both brought up and everybody, I think, has brought up, DeMarcus Robinson. Someone's going to have to explain to me why the Rams would trade DeMarcus Robinson to Kansas City or to anybody. So, like, I'm with you. They free up space to make a move. Why? DeMarcus Robinson's playing well. He had two touchdowns last night. The Rams are tied for second in their division. They're only 3-4. I understand, but so are the Niners. The Seahawks are in first. They're 4-3. Does anybody think they're running away with that division?
No, they look
the Rams
pretty
had
too.
Cooper Kupp and Puka back last night, and they look great. And so if you're saying, well, they have them both back, they don't need D-Rob. Kupp and Nacua were playing last night, and D-Rob still had two touchdowns. Plus, there's a decent chance Puka and Kupp get hurt. So I'm just saying, like, I don't know why, like, we just assume that DeMarcus Robinson's getting traded to anybody.
I guess I thought him or Tutu Atwell felt like that
Atwell,
a crowded room. But the other part is, if you're the Rams and now you're competing for a playoff spot, don't you just kind of need the security net from Puka and Cooper Kupp? What are the odds the two of them are playing every game the rest of the damn season?
Right.
They haven't done that at any point they've been together, dude. Cooper Kupp's been hurt the whole time. Puka's been hurt a pretty good amount. Like, you might just need D-Rob and Tutu Atwell for a game or two, depending on the injuries you have. How about DeMarcus Robinson?
Good for him.
Has completely changed people's perspective of the type of NFL player he is. He's not a star. Nobody's pretending like he is. But he's going to end up being a 10-year NFL veteran by the time this thing's all done. He played for a lot of winning organizations and winning teams by the time this thing's all said and done for DeMarcus Robinson. But again, I think that they got to be moving the money for somebody. Somebody, right? They have something in mind that they want to purchase. Do you actually think it's a wide receiver? That's what I want, right? I actually think it's a corner. I don't know why, and I don't think they need to go down that road, but I feel like they want to spend the money on corner. And because Charles Omenihu's too obvious on the defensive line is that's our midseason acquisition. They spent the money on DeAndre Hopkins, and I think they're now more optimistic on Hollywood Brown's possible return late. That they'll just take the chances there, right? They'll shuffle those pieces around, and they'll make that version of offense work with just what we said. They're a running team now. Like it or not, they're a defensive running team. I know that sounds so weird because of who the Chiefs have been the entire time we've watched them under the Patrick Mahomes era. I went all the way back, by the way. I gave you those 4 years. I went all the way back. The Chiefs have ranked top 10 in pass percentage every single year. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter in Kansas City.
Yeah.
They ranked 24. They're a running team. Like it or not, that's who they are. And so they don't need to spend their money there. They got to win on defense. And so I think that they're probably using it to buy a corner. Just corner depth. Not even a guy who necessarily starts. Just a third corner, fourth corner. They need that extra money just in case.
Right, because yesterday when we were talking this out, you know, and thinking about potential moves, it's not, to me, it's not, if they trade for a corner, it's not going out and getting a starting corner or someone opposite Trent McDuffie. It is strictly a depth type of move, you know, a veteran that's going to be available for another late round draft pick. And I know we can all go back and forth about giving up picks or not, as we did yesterday. I just think if it's anything that's fifth or later, I don't know why anybody should be concerned about giving up those kind of picks, whether it's for a corner, whether it's for another wide receiver. But I'm just saying, I don't know why DeMarcus Robinson would actually get traded. The other element of this, what we're discussing about Juwan Taylor, is having some money converted. Someone on the text line said, hey, it also indicates Juwan Taylor's here. They have no plans of parting ways. Oh, I'm with you, but that was already the case back in March, because in March there was a, I don't know what the right term is.
It's not, essentially, like,
it became guaranteed once March 12th or something hit for next year. There was no, like, he's getting paid next year by the Chiefs no matter what. So, yes, that's probably why he was a good candidate for this. They're kind of locked in no matter what, unless they were to trade him. But I don't think this conversion to signing bonus isn't why they're keeping him. It's that they already were locked in for another year, so they might as well do that with a player they know is not going anywhere.
The other thing is, some of this is like first impressions stick with people. Maybe this is why you don't get drunk in front of people, right? First impressions stick with people, Alex.
I get drunk in front of people. It's just you. It's not
me. Not me, though.
Not the level Cody wants.
Yeah, I do want to.
I handle my alcohol well. That's all it is. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, back to the actual things. First impressions matter, and I think that's what's happened with Juwan Taylor. Juwan Taylor's not been a problem this year. I am not claiming he is a superstar Trent Williams-level tackle. He's not. He's like, fine. He's a fine, perfectly average, middle-of-the-road right tackle in the NFL. There are a lot of bad right tackles, worse than Juwan Taylor. He's fine. And so, like it or not, He's the right tackle because he's paid and he's fine. He's not the problem with the offense, okay? Like, and that's where I come on him. Is like, I don't care that they pay him next year. Tackles cost a lot of money. They're not paying anyone else on the offensive line yet. I guess Creed's money will start kicking in next year. I don't know if you saw this. Creed's, they graded out win rate for you know, all the different players on the offensive line over Pro Football Focus. Creed Humphrey has a 98.6% win rate.
Well,
the man literally never gets beat. 98.6 of snaps they deem are wins for Creed Humphrey. What a joke. No one's even getting close to him.
Well, nobody ever questioned the blocking. The only issue was last year suddenly with the snaps. And that, fortunately, has not been a problem this year, and that's why they gave him, they weren't worried about it. They gave him an extension, so clearly they weren't concerned. But it's never been about blocking. Everybody's acknowledged it's why Creed Humphrey is considered the best center in football. It was never because he wasn't successful at blocking. So I'm not stunned by those numbers, actually, because we've all acknowledged that. The only reason why there was any sort of conversation around Creed a year ago was strictly because there was, for whatever reason, the back half of the season, including the Super Bowl, he had some snapping problems. He changed his technique in the offseason. Hasn't been a problem. They obviously have full confidence in him, and he got his extension. He got his big payday.
Little breaking news in the NFL.
All right.
According to Adam Schefter, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has now cleared the NFL-mandated concussion protocol and will start this Sunday's game versus the Cardinals. So whether
that's why Tyreek Hill yesterday said, yep, put him back in your fantasy lineups. They knew Tua was going to play. That was trending in that direction.
You think Miami will start winning games now?
I do.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Look, quarterback play is not insignificant.
I do. I mean, I think they're going to win this game on Sunday against the Cardinals. So I think they'll jump right back in and win immediately, honestly. I don't think Tua's, you know, a top five quarterback or anything, but guys, they were throwing out Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle.
Tyreek Hill said he was crying at the news that he could come back. That's how happy Tyreek Hill was.
Well, yeah. By the way, the over-under for Tua in the game, 255.5 passing yards. Props already up there.
That didn't take long.
Well, the expectation was he was playing. I know it's official right now, but based on comments from McDaniel and Tyreek Hill over the last couple of days, it was trending toward Tua playing on Sunday. So, yes, to answer your question, I do think the Dolphins are going to win on Sunday.
I do hope, like, I'm really hopeful for him that the comments he made last week are not prophetic. And, like, the sense that he was like, he's like, this game I live and die by. And I'm like, don't say the words die, man. Like, and because I'll be honest, I'm scared for Tua. Like, he gets to make his own decisions with his life. I respect and understand that. I'm worried that the next hit he takes could be his last hit, you know? And it's like him just getting back out there and doing that. And I know all the training he went through and all those things, but it's like to watch a person go through a fencing response like three different times on an NFL field and then be right back out there 4 or 5 weeks later. It's like just, I'm scared for him. I don't want him to alter his life permanently, alter his family's life permanently.
Only he can make that decision. I mean, when the doctors clear you, only he can decide whether to play or not. You know, this isn't the doctors not clearing him and then him somehow bypassing that. The doctors are clearing him to play. I'm with you. It feels like we're going to be right back in this spot in, you know, a year from now. Of course, I hope that's not the case, but we've done this a few times now. We see it. It's shocking. It's disturbing. We all say, wow, this is really serious, should not play or should play, and then we wait a few weeks, and then he gets cleared, and then he plays again. Like, there's a good chance we're back in this spot, and it sucks. But as I told you the day after that injury happened, the concussion happened, you know, I just think it's very easy for us in our spots. From the outside, we haven't played football our entire life, and it isn't something that we've done and our family's been part of around. I think it's very easy for us to say, dude, just walk away, take the money. Like, I would do that. But I'm also not actually in that situation. And
I know, but like you've done radio.
I think we simplify it too much.
If it happens again, though, I feel like the league has to just be like, dude, you're.
But he's cleared by the doctors, dude. That's the thing. He's not.
I know, but
I
think the last thing the NFL wants is for him to not make it after getting hit on the field. So I think if it happens again, and we go through this whole situation again, I feel like the league has to be like, dude, you're not playing. All right, and I know that he has the choice.
They're saying,
but then it's a slippery slope, Drew, because how are they determining who can play or not, right? Because the doctors are saying you're cleared. So what's the you know what I mean? I get what you're saying, but there, to me, how do you handle that in the future with another player? Anytime they think of what is it? We say three concussions. It's too many. Is it one? Is it six?
Well, it's not just concussions. He's the fencing response.
I feel like I understand.
Is what puts you over the top more than just the simple concussion, I guess.
So and then what's in the problem? But I'm saying what's the standard? Then it's like you have a fencing response. Then we're not going to let you ever play again. I'm not disagreeing that kind of thing sounds great. I'm saying there are consequences. It's not as easy to execute the same way that we're just throwing it out there like that is so easy to do. What is the rule going to be, and what are the stipulations? The answer is every case is different.
Yeah. I'm saying yes, there's truth in that, and like, but we also know statistically you're more likely to get them if you've already had them, and all this other stuff. And like, I get it, Gold. I was trying to make a comparison to your own life. Like, you've been a sports fan your whole life. Pretty much what you've always wanted to do is be in sports in some way, play by play, sports. Yep. It's your whole life. If they told you the chance of you getting another concussion is pretty high, and that your brain's going to be scrambled eggs, or offered you $100 million, you'd walk away. You'd walk away. But you walk away from radio, you'd never do it again.
I respect the comparison, but I don't think it's the best comparison.
You're mentioning for his life, like he was a teenager, he was a high schooler. That's what you did your whole life was sports. It's been your entire career. It was your collegiate career. It's your professional career. You'd walk away.
Oh, I told you. I've told you that. Walk the hell away. Take your money. I'm not disagreeing with you guys. I'm just saying it's an easy decision. I think it's easy from the outside for us to do. But I'm not telling you that I think he should still be playing. I just don't think it's my decision to make.
Speaking of your collegiate career, you went to the University of Kansas.
I did.
They have not beaten K-State in football, I think, in your lifetime. What's the last year?
2008.
Well, Kansas State has beat KU 15 consecutive meetings since 1990. I was born in 91. Since 1990, K-State is 15-1 straight up.
When's the last time they won in Manhattan?
Even further than that. I don't remember. Yeah, or okay. Was that one? I don't know. But the K-State has been a double-digit favorite as well against Kansas 17 times since 1990. They're 17-0 straight up when they're double-digit favorites. They're like 9.5-point favorites, by the way, right now. And 15-2 against the spread in those games.
So
I would love to sit here and tell you that we're going to have a sunflower showdown in Manhattan tomorrow.
So remember.
No, Kansas is going to get killed, and it sucks.
Kansas has every opportunity to ruin their rival season. Ruin it. I'd say Missouri is their bigger rival, but or at least used to be, certainly. I guess the conference shift has probably change that dynamic a little bit, but I mean, they have a chance to ruin, kick K-State out of the college football playoff in their season tomorrow, and I don't think they have any chance to do it. It's like I want it to be a competitive game because I love big rivalry games, especially ones where like they wreck their year, wreck their chances, ruin their mood. I think that's fun. I think it's fun to watch, but K-State's going to murder Kansas tomorrow.
I don't think it's going to be a 20 or 30 point win, but would I take KU to cover or K-State to cover? I'll take K-State to cover.
I think it's 10 points right now, or was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be like a 30 point win, Cody, like we've seen in some of these in the past. KU's offense obviously was much better, but they were playing Houston. The issue, I think, for Kansas is they can't tackle, guys. It is brutal. How are they going to handle DJ Giddens running at them? How are they going to handle
Avery Johnson,
obviously. I just don't think Kansas can tackle. I actually think they'll move the ball and they'll score a little bit, but I just don't think they're not going to be able to score enough to keep up to where K-State will win this thing by 10 to 13 points, and it won't really feel like it's all that close. I will gladly be wrong as an alum of Kansas, but I've seen this rodeo before, man.
The last time that Kansas won in Manhattan was 2007, then in their little three-game stretch. They won three times in a row, 06, 07, 08. I don't know. I think that people forget, Kansas has been leading in every single game this year in the fourth quarter. Like, they very easily could be 5-2 instead of 2-5 if they would finish a game properly and not kick themselves – shoot themselves in the foot. Yep. I think the game will be...
I think that's why that's 9.5, not 17.5 in this game, though. You know?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if they cover the 9.5, but I think the game's close going in. I think it's a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter. Like, I think it's one of those games, that rivalry games you get up for. It's not like Kansas have been blown out in all the games that they've lost. Like, they've been able to win. I think the game will be... I think it'll be close. I just think that... I think K-State wins, but I think it'll be a good game. I guess maybe that's also me hoping for it being a good game
for the Wildcats. Man.
I mean,
That's tough.
This is as bad as this is as lopsided as the basketball rivalry.
Yeah,
because like K-State's like because they'll get one. They play each other two times a year, and basketball's easier to win an upset game than football is. But like we know how lopsided the basketball rivalry's been. Kansas controls, dominates, owns that. The op football's worse. It's crazy.
I just don't know how they stop K-State, even if they move the ball, because I do think KU can move it. But they've allowed 32 points in three of their last four games, and we know K-State has scored 31 or more in four of their last five. I think the defense
is going to be a
shootout
probably if it needs to be that way.
Massive problem. Yeah, total's 54 and a half, it looks like.
This could be like one of those 34-24 K-State wins where it goes where it hits the over just slightly.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Alex and I are going to place a three-leg parlay together later as a team. Me and Alex and one listener. I might just have to take K-State in the points as my bets. Like, it feels like. And look, maybe I'm way wrong. Maybe some of this was like, he wasn't going to look the same until he had, like, we never give. This is something I'm going to learn for betting down the future or, like, win predictions down the future. I never give quarterbacks enough time to come back from major injury. It's hard to read defenses again, to get used to the speed again, to do all those things. I think we saw it for the first month of the NFL season this year. I think we saw it in college football for the first month this year. It's harder than you imagine. I think that's part of what happened with Quinn Ewers when he came back from the injury. Like, even this year, he's hurt for a few weeks, and then you're like, it's hard to just come back and be in that rhythm and find it again and find it quickly. It takes a few weeks before you kind of rediscover that. The chance I would give Kansas is, all right, maybe Jalen Daniels is comfortable finally, right? Maybe he's starting to feel it a little bit more. We've seen the offense actually look decent over the last few weeks. Certainly against Houston, they looked great. But it's like maybe they're starting to kind of find a rhythm again. I just think K-State's a better team. Like, you run into that problem too.
No question they are. Yeah, I mean, I just...
Like by a good margin, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, in the K-State loss to BYU... I don't want to say, you know,
that looks like a good
loss. Makes more sense, right? Where they got beat up in the second half, too many mistakes out in Provo, late night game, altitude, all that. And look at BYU. BYU's run the table so far to this point. But of course, it's a critical game for Kansas State and their college football playoff chances. But they should be favorites to the extent that they are. I'm not surprised by that line one bit. I don't think any of us are, given what they've looked like and where Kansas is at right now. The only reason why, if someone's out there and has any glimmer of hope that somehow there's an upset, you're banking it solely off of how great they looked against a terrible Houston team last week.
In fairness, you said they're going to beat Houston, they're terrible, and I said, are they terrible enough to look good against Houston? I questioned their ability to beat Houston that bad. So, like, at least I feel better about Kansas than I did 7 days ago.
We continue broadcasting here in Las Vegas from Circa as we get set for our happy hour tonight. Getting set also for Chiefs and Raiders. Be sure to stop on by if you're going to be in Vegas. We just sent out a couple more RSVP links on the text line. If you're going to be in Vegas this evening or know anybody that is and want a free drink, a chance to win some tickets to the game, just text in to 913-586-7965. We'll send you over the link to join us here in Vegas. Up next, though, let's talk to Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from ChiefsOnSI.com. Want to get his perspective on DeAndre Hopkins' playing time, what he thinks the Juwan Taylor contract stuff means, all that and more coming up next right here on Cody and Gold.